Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In 2010, Caroline Found led her Iowa City West High volleyball team to the state championship. She had high hopes for a repeat in her senior season, but in August of 2011, she was killed in a moped accident. Her family, her friends, her teammates, the whole community was heartbroken. And the heartbreak was compounded a week later when her mother, Ellen Found, succumbed to pancreatic cancer. The year that followed was extraordinary at West High and all throughout Iowa City and on the volleyball court. The team did win another state championship, and their story is now being told in a major motion picture that will be released in April.
The returning state champions.
You got this.
How many teams have earned two championships
back-to-back? Almost none.
Caroline, you're the captain. These girls are looking at you to lead this team.
I got you.
This is our year, Cal.
There's been an accident.
What?
The film, again, comes out in April. There will be a premiere in Iowa City on March 18th at the Englert Theater. And later this hour, I'll talk with screenwriter David Cohen, who wrote the screenplay for The Miracle Season. But I'm going to start the hour with two women who went on this journey together. Kathy Bresnahan, better known as Coach Brez, teaches at West High in Iowa City. She was the head volleyball coach who coached the women of Troy to back-to-back state championships in 2010 and 2011. She's also the author of the new book, The Miracle Season, and she's on the line with me now. Hello, Kathy.
Oh, good morning. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Anytime we can talk about Caroline or I can talk about my players, it's an opportunity I would never miss.
Olivia Meckes is also here. She was a friend and a teammate of Caroline Found's and a key player on both of the teams that won the championship title. Hello, Olivia.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And I just want to start, Kathy, in your book, you do a really beautiful job, I think, capturing Caroline's personality in a really honest way. There have been, she's become such really an icon in the Iowa City area that I think for a lot of people, she has become almost unreal. But you introduce us to Caroline as she really was. Tell me about the Caroline you knew.
Well, I mean, as people know, I mean, she was just one of those really outstanding leaders, friends of everybody, the disenfranchised, the special needs, the kids without money. She lit up the room with a smile, and she lived life with a passion. But we always joke that Caroline never broke any team rules, but she loved to bend them and push the envelope as far as she could. And I'm sure Ellen and Ernie, her parents, dealt with this on a daily basis, and I only had her in volleyball. But she, you just couldn't. It was like having a Labrador puppy that would have accidents in the house right by the door. They were really trying hard, but they didn't quite make it. And that's what, I mean, you can't help but laugh and at their antics. And that's exactly what Caroline was. She wasn't perfect. I know we always eulogize people when they're gone. But, boy, she was, her death was a tremendous loss to our community. And honestly, to the world, because she would have affected so many people.
So she was really, it sounds like, a real force of nature, a really positive person. Olivia, how would you describe her?
Fearless. I felt like every day she would wake up and come to school just wanting to make more friends and wanting to reach out to more people. And always, you know, I can't speak for her, obviously, but I never felt like she would have gone to bed wondering what she could have done more that day or who more people she could have reached out to. And that was something that I think all of us really tried to take in and tried to do a better job of, because as we all know, you got to live like it could be your last day. And she certainly lived in her years probably more than any of us have so far in our lives.
She was really funny, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
Can one of you think about a story that kind of sums up her sense of humor, Kathy?
Well, the one I mentioned in the book was the time she was on the bus. It wasn't just that she would do these things, but she would get other people to follow her, no matter how ridiculous they were. And the one time, 2010, I believe, and we were coming home after qualifying for state, and I heard these ungodly screams in the back bus. And, of course, I knew Caroline was behind it, whatever was going on. So I marched back there, and she had convinced Shelley Stumpf, one of our other players, to follow her lead. And they were putting Icy Hot on private parts of their body that Icy Hot is not intended. And, well, of course, it was absolutely painful. You know, and we always talk back about that because it was so typical Caroline and so hysterical that she just wanted to experience this and see what it would be like. And she just made us laugh every single day in practice.
Mm-hmm. And leading up to this terrible accident, Kathy, you were already faced with an incredible challenge as a coach because you knew that Caroline's mother was sick. She had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So you were already faced with coaching your player through this season, through what you assumed would be really the hardest thing that she had ever experienced. What were your thoughts going into that 2011 season when it came to Caroline?
Well, I mean, even during open gyms that summer, you would always kind of glance surreptitiously over to see what kind of mood she was in when she walked in. You know, was it affecting her? Was it, was she down? Was she hurt? And she really worked hard to put things aside when she stepped on the court for coaches, for her teammates. She just loved the game of volleyball, but in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, what if, you know, what if Ellen doesn't make it through the season? What if, you know, she doesn't, you know, takes a turn for the worse, and how is it going to affect Caroline? And then how is it going to affect the rest of my players, my team? Because that was my huge responsibility, was the team as a whole, and then Caroline individually to try to help her through that season and what she was going through. It was really difficult.
Well, and Olivia, Ellen, Caroline's mother, had been a volunteer in so many ways. She was a real presence with the volleyball team. So mm-hmm. All of you were close to her, weren't you?
Yeah, very much so. She was always that parent that was inviting everyone and their parents over after tournaments or bringing coffee for everyone in the stands. And she was just like that light up there. You could just like look up and feel her warmth. And she genuinely cared about each of us girls like we were her own, you know. And she just brought so much more to our team or our family than just the cheering. You know, you could feel her. So.
Going into that 2011 season, repeating a state championship is rare, but Caroline had declared that you guys were going to win again in the next season. And Kathy, you write about a team camp that you went to in Pella, and there are lots of wonderful stories about that team camp, but you woke up in the morning, you were staying in a townhouse, and you and your assistant coach get up and you're getting ready and you need to go wake up the girls because nobody has appeared yet. And you knocked on the first door and there's nobody in the room. What did you find?
Well, we just kept going from room to room to room, and there's mattresses missing. There was no girls. And we knew once again that it had to be something that Caroline organized. And we get to the final bedroom, and there they were, 10 girls sprawled all over the room on top of dressers, 3 in a bunk bed, on the floor. I know, Olivia, maybe you can speak to how did she even organize that to get you guys all to agree to do that?
That's a good question. You know what's funny is that whenever she had an idea like that, it didn't seem as outrageous as it does looking back. It was just like, oh, yeah, that sounds fun. Let's do it. And I think actually that was Caroline in my room, and so of course I was stuck on the bottom bunk with her. And when we got assigned to, you know, roomies, I'm like already thinking in my head, great, I'm not gonna get any sleep this weekend. But little did I know we were gonna have the entire team on there. So yeah, like Brez said, we had 2 mattresses up on the dressers. Probably put the freshmen up there, I don't know.
And her idea was that this was a team unity activity,
and,
right?
And that's kind of just how everything kicked off. And that was probably one of the best ways to do like a team bonding thing. I mean, you can play as many games as you want and stuff, but when you're in such a tiny room with that many girls and, you know, that was a really good way. And I feel like because that wasn't just seniors or anything like that. That was the entire, that was JV, that was varsity, that was juniors, sophomores, everyone. And that was just so Caroline to just bring everyone in and, get everyone to be so close. And I think that, that's exactly what at least we tried to do for the rest of the season, because of her.
Well, and Kathy, she explained it to you. She didn't want any egos on the team. She wanted the team to work seamlessly together, right? She had a vision, a real vision.
Well, she absolutely did. And she was all about team and all about cohesiveness, and she felt we were a little divisive the year before with some, and some egos got in the way of things, and she just wanted no part of that. So we had a freshman starter, you know, and a sophomore starter. So with this huge core group of seniors, she wanted them to feel important and feel like they were part of this.
How were you feeling going into the 2011 season? I mean, it had to be kind of an exciting time.
It really was. I mean, that was our first state championship the year before, and it's very tough to defend. But you have to remember we lost three Division I players that graduated. Most of our offense graduated. And so I really felt the only way we were going to be successful is if Caroline had an incredible season and was able to nurture the team along. And I was cautiously optimistic that we would be a top five team at the best, you know, and we just didn't have, you know, we just had a lot of pieces that were missing. And so I don't think anybody would have thought that we were going to repeat even with Caroline.
But Caroline thought so. Olivia, did you think so?
Oh, she knew so. yeah. I mean, when that girl had something in her mind that she was going to accomplish, it was going to get done. But you got to remember, we didn't just lose our best returning athlete and our returning captain. We lost an incredible leader. And she was kind of that glue that was, you know, at the time holding everyone together and pushing us forward. And
we're going to have to take a short break. Okay. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Kathy Bresnahan, author of The Miracle Season, and Olivia Meckes. We'll be back in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're looking back on the West High volleyball season in 2011. That was the season following the death of 16-year-old Caroline Found. She was the team captain. She was the team's setter. And she was killed in a moped accident in August of 2011. Her friends, her teammates were heartbroken. Her coach was heartbroken. The whole community was heartbroken. But the season that followed was truly extraordinary. And it ended in a state championship. And the story is told in a new book, The Miracle Season. It's also told in a major motion picture that will be released in April, although there will be a premiere in Iowa City at the Englert Theater on March 18th. Kathy Bresnahan wrote the book. She also coached the team that went to those two state championships. She's a teacher at West High in Iowa City. Olivia Meckes is also here. She was a friend and teammate of Caroline Founds and a key player on both of the teams who won the state championships in 2010 and 2011. And I know that this is a part of the story that you've both had to tell way too often, and it's a difficult thing to talk about. But Kathy, tell me how you got the news that Caroline had died.
We had, it was in the middle of the night, and I got a phone call that came in. And when I heard that it was Shelley Stump, Caroline's comrade in arms for practical jokes, and it was 12:30 in the morning, I immediately assumed it was Caroline and Shelley waking me up for some inane reason.
Which they had done before, right?
Which they had done many times before. And it didn't matter in the summertime because I don't need to get up, but I was about ready to make them have the whole team run if they were calling me again. And that's when they Kelly Fleeler and Shelley were both on the phone and told me very calmly that there was an accident and said Caroline didn't survive. And, you know, I think for all of us, I don't think that kind of news for anybody, it just doesn't sink in. It's just not reality. You think you're dreaming. You think you misheard. I immediately assumed that they meant Caroline's mother passed away. I couldn't wrap my brain around what they were telling me.
Olivia, after the team got the news, many of you gathered that night. You were up all night, mm-hmm. heartbroken. You got together the next day. You went to practice.
Mm-hmm.
What was that next day like?
One of the worst days of my life. I mean, the last place we wanted to be was on the court and the one place that we knew she should be with us. And so, I mean, anger was the first emotion I think we all felt being there, and frustration. But of course, just like grief and pain, you know, like to step onto that court knowing that that was the last place that a lot of us saw her and somewhere we'll never be able to see her again. It was terrible. And that was Brez's call and Scott Sanders, our assistant coach's call to have us there. And looking back, I think a lot of us would agree that that was probably a good idea for us, you know, because you got to start somewhere. And I don't know that if we hadn't that day that we ever would have. So it was necessary, but it was horrible.
And Kathy, you knew how to coach volleyball. You knew how to teach girls how to play and teach them how to win. But being faced with something like this, I mean, where did you look for guidance at how to lead a team through this kind of heartbreak?
Oh, boy, I think on something like this, you just follow your gut feelings. And probably more so than ever in my life, I had to become attuned to my players' needs because that doesn't come natural. I was always kind of kept a barrier between myself and my players and not that emotional involvement. And they became the most important people in my life. You know, that became, for me, that was a mission to help them get through this. And they, in turn, helped me get through this. And even now, it's emotional to talk about it. It's just difficult. It was just every day was something different, you know, a different hurdle that we had to cross and different emotions that we were dealing with. And I couldn't have got through without them. And Olivia was always there for me. And Scott Sanders, the assistant coach, was always there for all of us. We couldn't have done, we just had the perfect group of people to get each other through. I mean, that's really what it was. We were truly a family.
Olivia, you and the other girls on the team, obviously you had to be there for each other. You made rules for yourselves on how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
What did you come up with as a team for how to get through each
mm-hmm.
day?
You know, I don't know that there was ever a time that we sat down and said, okay, we got to make some rules, but things just kind of came about. We didn't really cry on the court. So if somebody was having a tough time, and there was always somebody having a tough time, and I don't know if that was just because that's how 16-year-old girls handle that, but usually somebody would go running off the court or they'd have to leave the gym and they'd go outside and sit. And so, you know, we'd give them a few minutes, but somebody would always go after them. You didn't just leave them out there. And that was just something that we got used to doing. And so then a lot of times, I don't know, Brez, right? I think that then the whole team would kind of follow and we'd, you know, because if one person's struggling on a team, you all struggle. You can't, you know, finish the race without one person. So, and we really used that as a time to build and to be there for each other. And as time went on, that's just how we did things as a group. It wasn't one person struggling because for me, it was the hardest times were to see like my friends or to see Brez like break down on the side of the court because you just feel so helpless, you know? You know, when you have moments like that, like what you need and what will make you feel better, but you never know how to handle it when somebody else is. And so, being there for each other was a way of coping for ourselves as well. And I don't think, like Brez said, we could have had a better group of people.
And Brez, you didn't expect this to be a winning season, did you?
Oh, heavens no. I mean, I just didn't know how we could be. We didn't have a backup setter. And we had a setter in training that we worked for years with, but she was only a ninth grader. She was not ready to step into what a huge void this was going to be and take on that responsibility of leading the senior-laden team. So, we lost our star player, and we had no one to replace her.
When I saw the trailer for The Miracle Season, and in the movie, you're played by Helen Hunt, she says in the trailer, win for Caroline. And I, as a mother, I just heard that and I thought, oh, no, the kind of pressure that that would put on the team. And reading your book, you never said that to the girls. And you were really careful to avoid saying that. What did you tell them?
We just really reiterated the fact that we wanted our team to play with the passion, honor Caroline by our play, and that we wanted to play like her. And I mean, that was the only thing we said, let's play like Caroline. And then it didn't matter if you won or lost, because if that's all she ever asked of herself and others was just play your hardest, love the game, play your hardest.
Did you feel pressure to win, Olivia?
No. Well, at the very end, we all, I think, kind of had this feeling like, what if we don't? Just because we had made it so far, but winning was never a goal. We didn't go into the season with any like long-term goals like that. It was day by day. Like, what can we do to make it through this day? Because that's how much energy it took just to wake up every morning and go to school. That winning was not by any means a priority. But like Brez said, playing like Caroline was. So if we had a bad game and we were upset with ourselves, it wasn't because we lost. It was because we were letting balls drop and we were being lazy, you know, or we weren't playing as a team and we weren't being inclusive. So it was never about the scoreboard. It was more about, you know, how we were working together.
Now, of course, this loss was much bigger than just the team, just the volleyball team. And the way Iowa City and Iowa City West High rallied in the wake of this loss was really extraordinary. Someone coined the phrase "live like Line." Line was Caroline's nickname, and that became the rallying cry for the whole year, for the whole school, maybe for the whole city, maybe for large parts of the state. What was that like, Olivia, having the whole school really trying to live with that kind of passion and that kind of openness and love for each other? How did that change the experience?
It was motivating to look up and to see just a sea of blue in the stands and know that everybody there was rooting for you meant everything. And it, you know, like you said, it extended past our volleyball family. It was then the softball team got the, you know, we're wearing their shorts for their warm-ups and everything, and just to have people come up to you after your games that you don't even know and just tell you as a 16-year-old how inspiring you are and how strong everyone is, it just it's really empowering. I don't know, you know, when anybody loses somebody you feel for them, but this was somebody that had so many connections with the community, and their family was such a big piece that I felt like so many people felt a loss from that. And so, yeah, I mean, having everybody there to support us was definitely one of our main motivators.
Brez, another person who really stepped forward and supported the girls was Caroline's dad, Dr. Ernie Found. And it's so hard to imagine the pain that he must have been feeling, you know, with so much loss, losing his daughter, losing his wife, and going to these volleyball games and seeing these thriving, healthy, beautiful girls playing this sport that his daughter loved so much. What did it mean to you and to the girls that Ernie Found was in the stands at every single game?
Well, Ernie's an icon. I mean, you can tell where Caroline got her personality. And everybody loves him, and to see him fight through his pain, I think, gave us strength that, my heavens, our pain is so minimal compared to him losing his wife and his daughter. And the fact that he could come and just sit there and have tears in his eyes and be cheering on the girls, and, you know, I caught his eye before every game, before and after every match. And we didn't have to talk, but we always made sure we made eye contact. And, oh, he just gave me so much strength. I mean, Olivia, for you guys, it was similar?
Yeah. I mean, there were times that it was almost painful to look up and to see him there at that point because, like, we knew what he was feeling and we knew how hard it was for him to be there. But for him to stick that out for us and for Caroline and Ellen was everything. And it was hard. I mean, I'll never forget senior night, even when he was down there with us. I mean, he's incredible. I can't possibly imagine a stronger person to be in his position during that. I'll never understand how he did it or how he pushed himself to be there for us, even at our very first game. During that moment of silence, I don't know how he could have possibly done it. And not just him, but Catherine. I mean, she was in school at the time. She was so young.
Caroline's older sister.
I can't imagine being in college and going through something like that. And Greg. But they did it, and I'll always be thankful for all of them.
Now, we know how the season ended. You guys started winning, and it was a struggle. The whole season, it was a struggle. And I want to play a little bit. This story caught on. A lot of people started paying attention. And, Kathy, you actually wrote a letter to Frank DeFord, the legendary sports writer, and that started the ball rolling for a documentary on HBO Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. And we're going to play a couple of minutes from that documentary that sums up the end of the season as you guys took that championship title.
Coach Bresnahan's team rode the music and the momentum all the way to their conference title and qualified for the state playoffs. And they quickly won their first match. They won their second one just as easily. And next thing they knew, they'd made it back to where no one expected they'd be.
Iowa City West needs just one more victory to repeat as state champions.
The team stepped onto the court feeling confident, but they played like they were back on their heels. Costly errors put them two sets down.
City High, another attack, and that goes between a couple of West players.
To take home the title, they'd have to win the next three in a row. A seemingly impossible task.
We had all kind of got a little bit of a feeling of, well, it's been a nice run, but not quite.
But Lyon's teammates had other ideas.
We were like, okay, now we need to actually play volleyball. Losing just wasn't an option.
Point by point, the girls clawed their way back into the match until it was all evened up in the final set.
And Iowa City West has come right on back.
But their opponents got the first crack at the title.
Championship point.
Oh, no.
Net serve.
The serve went right into the net.
It was almost as though there were divine intervention.
A few points later, West got their shot at finishing it out.
And that's Iowa City West for the championship match point. They send it off to the left side, and a nice dig out of there by Molly Mason. Stump dumped over. It's down. They've done it. And the championship to the women of Troy.
We had to do it for Caroline. And it was just like relief that we honored her as best we could.
That's just a couple of minutes from the documentary about this miracle season that aired on HBO Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. You heard, of course, the voice of Frank DeFord. You also heard Ernie Found, Caroline's father, and a number of other voices from teammates sharing their experience. And the pressure must have been extraordinary there at the end. Olivia, you know, you got to that final match. Things were not going that well. You just couldn't get the lead. You couldn't keep the lead. You couldn't mm-hmm. extend the lead. What were you feeling?
To be honest, that entire set is kind of a blur because I don't know that we ever had the feeling like we have to do this or, you know, but it was, again, kind of like point by point, like, okay, just, you know, get this ball down, like get the next point. And, you know, point by point, obviously we made it happen. But I mean, just listening to that clip again, it gives me goosebumps because I'll never forget it's almost like a movie scene. Like everything just kind of goes silent. And I just remember my muscles almost giving out, like, like we finally made it happen. And of course that, you know, that's a happy ending sports wise, and we'll never get her back. And so to a certain extent, we're always going to live with the pain of that season. But to be able to accomplish what we did, I think I felt like we could do anything from there on.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. David Cohen is going to join us in a second. He's the screenwriter for The Miracle Season, the movie that is based on this real story that opens in April. He's best known for his work writing Friday Night Lights. Coach Kathy Bresnahan is here with me. She's also the author of the new book, The Miracle Season, which tells this whole story from her perspective. Olivia Meckes is also here. She was a friend and teammate of Caroline Founds and a key player on both of the West High teams that won those state championship titles. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're taking a look back at the 2011 volleyball season for West High. It is a season that has now inspired a major motion picture, The Miracle Season, which will open in April. There'll be a premiere at the Englert Theater in Iowa City on March 18th. And it also inspired a new book by Coach Kathy Bresnahan called The Miracle Season. And I want to bring somebody else into the conversation now. We've got Coach Kathy with us. We've got Olivia Meckes. She was a teammate of Caroline Founds, and she was on both of those teams that went to the state championship. David Cohen is also joining us now. He is the screenwriter for The Miracle Season, and he's best known for his work writing Friday Night Lights. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And I wonder, when did you first hear about this story?
I heard about it when I got a call from my agent, who was in touch with LD Entertainment, the studio that ended up producing the movie, and they were looking for a writer to adapt the story. So they sent me the Frank DeFord piece, which I watched, and, you know, like everybody else, kind of was crying by the end of it. And at the same time, I think my daughter was a junior in high school and playing on the volleyball team. So there were some other overlaps there of emotional threads. And I was just like, wow, this story is just it's pretty amazing. So,
well, and that makes me realize how early people started talking about a movie. I mean, Kathy, you just survived this incredibly difficult emotional season and won the state championship. When did people start talking about turning it into a movie?
Excuse me. That didn't happen until the HBO piece came out. So that really sparked interest in Hollywood once Frank DeFord and those guys did such a tremendous job with it. But that's when people started coming out to Iowa and flying in to talk to Ernie and I. But to be honest, we were very lukewarm at the idea at that time. In 2012, it was still too raw. And I think as another year went by, LD Entertainment was persistent, but I mean, they were never pushy. And I think we started to realize how this story could impact others that suffered loss and inspire young girls and empower them. And we decided it was worth the risk. The risk was much better, was not as good as the potential reward.
Yeah, Olivia, when did you first hear about it, and how did you react?
I heard about it after the HBO thing, too. It was just, you know, talk, and at first it's kind of like, all right, come on, like, this is our life. We're from Iowa City, Iowa. Let's be honest. We're not going to have a movie made about us. But then it got more and more real, and then, I can't say I was super excited about it in the beginning, because that's like the most personal details about your life being put out there for the entire world.
Right, and such a painful time, in spite of the triumph. I mean, right. Such a painful time.
Right. And so, you know, mixed feelings for sure. But ultimately, it's about Caroline and what Caroline would want. And we all know Caroline would want a movie made about her.
No kidding.
Not to mention what kind of a person she was, and if that is going to make a difference in little girls' lives, or in anyone's life for that matter, and it makes people live like her, then everybody deserves to watch it. So,
but it's not just a movie about Caroline. I mean, no, it certainly captures her, but it's about all of you. I mean, all of you are extraordinary women who pulled together at this time. So, I mean, certainly this whole, I mean, David, when you first started researching, you must have been blown away by the strength of these girls.
Absolutely. Not just the girls, but really everybody that I met involved in the story. I mean, you know, I first touched base with Ernie, and we met a couple of times. First he was out west, and we met once, and then we had a lot of conversations on the phone because he was still on the fence. You know, it's such a such an intimate thing to be able to share. And I remember the story that he said when he was kind of like ready to say yes and say yes to the whole process, because I took time to explain to him, you know, what it might mean, having gone through this a few times with other real stories. And he had this story that he told. He said, well, you know, we thought about what Caroline would think about this. Like, if I asked her, you know, if how she would feel about us making a movie about the story. And he heard this answer from her in typical line fashion, which was, hell yeah! So I think that kind of put it over the top. But then, you know, the experience of coming out to Iowa City, I came a couple of times and spending time first with Ernie and Brez and then with the girls and really everybody who, you know, considered Caroline a friend, which is a very long list of people, because she was just such a social person, you know, and she was one of those people who I kept hearing the same comment from the girls, that when you were with her, you felt always like you were the most important person in the room.
So, Kathy, as David started working on this screenplay and even later on, I mean, you got an opportunity to visit the set of the movie as it was being filmed. How surreal is this experience for you to see Helen Hunt playing you on the big screen?
It was absolutely crazy. You know, I guess I didn't understand even the logistics of putting on a movie. So I think both Ernie and I, when we flew up to Vancouver to watch, were blown away by the 27 semis for dressing rooms and these buffet lunches that they would cater to 400 people. And but to see Helen play me, it was like, come on, Helen, you got to look a little prettier here. What's going on?
Improve that hairdo.
But, you know, she took it so serious. You know, everything from having me videotape how I walked, talking to her diction coach. It's like, can you nail down this Wisconsin accent? I don't know. But just to see the professionalism from this David is a screenwriter and the producers and all the actresses and people on the set were so, they just rallied behind this movie and the story. We were just in tears all the time with all the support we were getting from people involved with the movie and in every aspect.
Olivia, somebody plays you in the movie. Who plays you?
Tiara Scobie. Scobie.
And you've actually you've texted with her, you've talked with her online. She's not somebody you've met though, right?
No, I haven't met her, but I think I probably will at the premiere, so that'll be interesting. She's great. She was very persistent in the very beginning. She reached out to me and it took me a few days to respond. She just sent me a really nice message and she just told me how much it meant to her, how big this movie was becoming in her life and how she was really feeling the story. And so we Skyped and it was awkward. But then we got to know each other a little bit better and she asked me some super personal questions that she said would help her. She felt like to play my character and to tell the story as best as she could. And obviously she has limited control over details like that. But I really did feel like she tried her best. And she's continued to reach out to me over the past couple of years. And it seems like she really does care a lot about the story.
And you've actually gotten to see the film at this point, right?
Right.
So tell me about your opportunity to see the film. When did you get to see it?
Brez, when was that? A couple months ago? A month ago?
Yeah, right between Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So the girls that were able to come home came home, and that was Kelly and Shelley and myself, and then the Founds, our families, and then coaches were there. So Brez and Scott were there. And yeah, we watched it. It was a lot. I felt like it took me a full 48 hours to even let it sink in. And I'm sure there's parts that I didn't even notice, you know, that I'll see for the second time and I'll be like, wow. But yeah, there were funny parts where at times I forgot I was watching a movie about my own life and I was laughing and then I got confused. And but then, you know, there's times in the movie where even if it wasn't the story about my life, that would really get you. And one of them is, you know, when you see people find out about the accident, and the details that are so similar were really difficult to watch because you really are reliving your life. And not only that, but when we go to the premiere, when the movie's actually released, the whole world's going to see the details of our personal life. And so that's a lot to take in. But it's very humbling. I mean, if they didn't see something really significant about our story and about our life, they wouldn't have done all of this and gone through the whole process. So it does mean a lot to us.
Well, and Kathy, so you were there, your team, parts of your team were back together. And I know that you've all stayed really close since that season. I mean, that bonded you in a way that nothing else really could. Kathy, what was it like for you to sit in the little theater at West High with your girls and watch this movie?
Such a vulnerability. You know, that our pain has been exposed to a lot of people. I mean, I felt really vulnerable watching it and reading David's screenplay as he kept changing it. And, I mean, there's some liberties with the story because that's what you have to do. I was so relieved that I felt a sense of relief. I don't know what Olivia would have used for a word, but that I thought they did honor to the story. And I thought it conveyed such a powerful message. And then I was very honored that they did such a great job because you just don't know till you see the finished product.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you also just released your book telling this story. You've been doing book events and reliving the story, I'm sure. Has this been difficult for you these last few weeks?
I don't think I've gotten through one signing or one interview without tears welling up. You know, it's just such a personal thing. And some, you know, some of the questions are just tough to even have to think about. So, yeah, but, Garrish, you know, the book is going to help the Live Like Lyme Foundation. And so I'm beyond thrilled with the success that it's having and that it's sold out on Amazon, I think, for the fifth time. So, I mean, that's a really rewarding and, yeah. Sometimes your questions leave people speechless.
Yeah.
Interviewers in general, just because it is so personal, you know.
Well, you did a beautiful job telling the story. And obviously, to write the story, that must have been quite a journey because you shared so many details. You really did have to go back and relive this journey.
Yeah, and I think any writer that writes something that's a true experience, you have to really examine your soul and scratch deeper than you probably are comfortable with. And I had a local writing coach, Mary Allen, help me really dredge through this. I'm a coach. I'm not a writer. So this was a laborious process, I can tell you that.
David, I'd love to get your bigger picture view because, you know, for both Kathy and Olivia, this is obviously so close to home. When you look at this film now, what do you want people who see it to take away from it?
I think to me the biggest message is about kind of a deep appreciation and excitement for just being alive, you know, and what kind of gifts we get to share when we're here. And for some of us, like Caroline, you know, it can be a really brief journey, but the impact that she had on so many people, you know, and the legacy that her life has to this day, in some ways, it softens the pain, you know, of her own passing. Obviously, for everybody who knew her, you know, that doesn't go away, but there is a gift, you know. It's like I have an old writing teacher who talked about the gifts being right next to the wound, and I think this is that kind of story, you know. The wound is definitely deep. Caroline's passing and Ellen's passing, I mean, it was just kind of a tsunami of grief, but at the same time, all of a sudden, you know, kind of like rising from those ashes, came all of this other energy and these gifts that were eventually, you know, showered among all of the participants in the story. So for the movie, that's our, you know, hope and desire that people come out of it and they see, you know, just how much one person's life can matter.
Well, and Kathy, you write about that. When you first lost Caroline, if anybody had told you that thousands of people would be positively impacted by this event, you would have been angry. And I think anybody would have. I mean, when you think about how many people have been touched by Live Like Line, by this whole phenomenon, how do you feel about that?
I'm really proud. I'm proud that Caroline's memories and what she represented in life, and that's going to be passed on to other people, that she would never have had an opportunity to touch herself. So maybe if there was a greater meaning in our lives, that this is one, that this is way she's reaching many more people than she would have had she lived. I mean, I'm hoping that's the silver lining out of all of this.
Well, and the focus is so often on Caroline, but in your book, you write about the extraordinary young women who were on this team, and every single one of those young women really went through an amazing journey and showed so much strength, so much fortitude and love for each other. I mean, you just must be incredibly proud of all of these women.
I don't know how a parent could be prouder of their daughters or sons than I am of these girls. And that's why I did write Frank at the end of the season, which I never thought he would see the letter. It was so cathartic to just pour my heart and soul about what Caroline meant and what Olivia and her teammates meant to me. And somehow that must have came through to him that this was indeed a great story. But I will be forever indebted to those girls and my coaching staff that season and the other people involved in the story.
Well, and Olivia, how do you carry this with you every day?
You know, this is never something that you plan to have to deal with in your life. And there's still a lot of times where it's difficult and it's hard. And I wish that we had never, ever had to experience something like that. But I have no doubt in my mind that my life would be completely different if we hadn't, and I wouldn't have the relationships with the people in my life that I do now, and I wouldn't have reached out to as many people as I have, and I would be doing a lot of things differently. And so I'm forever thankful that I got to know Caroline for the amount of time that I did, and that she impacted my life the way she did. So I now have the relationship with Brez and with the team that I do.
Well, Olivia Meckes, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Also with me this hour, Kathy Bresnahan, better known as Coach Brez. She teaches at West High in Iowa City. She was the head volleyball coach who coached the women of Troy to back-to-back state championships in 2010 and 2011. She's also the author of the new book, The Miracle Season. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having us in, Charity. I really appreciate it.
And David Aaron Cohen is the screenwriter for The Miracle Season. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
The Miracle Season comes out in early April. There will be a premiere March 18th in Iowa City at the Englert Theater. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.